From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Gojo and Golic with Mike Golic Jr. and Mike Golic Sr. on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo and Golic. Happy Friday. Mike Golic Jr., Mike Golic Sr., and Emerson Lazia back in the chair, freshly shaven here in the DraftKings
studio. I feel hot.
In Boston.
I feel real hot.
You look hot. We have... We got a great show for you guys today. As always, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, review, leave us a five-star rating, and check us out live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the DraftKings Network so you can see Emerson's naked face. check us out, the best of Gojo and Golic.
I'm glad you added face to that.
1 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, really, we're really off and running this Friday here. We got a great show for everybody. Emerson, me for myself, and tell the people what we have coming up right now.
Also, Gojo, shout out to you. I know this is like your flu game. No coffee for you this morning. So Godspeed over the next 2 hours. So we got Luka going for the clinch later today against a Kawhi-less Clippers team at home. We had some key game sixes in the NBA last night, though, here, Gojo. So that is where we will start this incredible two-hour journey, starting with the 76ers, whose ownership, by the way, scooped up a bunch of tickets to try and box out Knicks fans last night, who ended up leaving with the win anyway. So New York moving on after eliminating Philly in game six. A fitting end to a crazy back-and-forth series here. Jalen Brunson, 41 points, leading the way. What else did you take away from this one, dude?
This is the series, Dad, that was tailor-made for when we see, you know, when you see one really good NBA game, whether it's in the regular season or the postseason, and you know those two teams, if it's the regular season, have a chance of playing in the postseason, and you go, oh, I'll take seven of these. I was rooting for overtime in this game. I was rooting for the Sixers, not really because I'm a Sixers fan. Shout out to Billy, our producer, who is. And I wanted to see him happy. But more than anything, I just wanted to see another game of the series, because in a first round that had been marred by injury, that we had seen some teams already shown the door pretty quickly, this was far and away the best series that we got. And even though there are going to be things we talk about going forward that could be looked at as problems for the 76ers based off another season where Joel ends the year banged up and having to power through that in the postseason, overall, Dad, this is a really well-played series by two teams, neither of which was at full strength, but both of whom got banner performances from their star players in this big game.
Yeah, we'll obviously put a bow on the 76ers as their season is over and what do they do in the future, but I'm with you. This was the best series of the first round, no doubt about it. I mean, the physicality going on, Embiid playing out there with the bulky knee brace, you know, hurting it, having to go to the locker room, come back out, limping around. Again, that size on a lower body injury and what that can do. And let's always remember, you know, people are going to say he was hurt. He was hurt. But the one thing about it, when you're playing, if you step on the court, you can't give an excuse that it was the injury that slowed you down. Even though you're on the court, everything is changed by the way you play and the way your team plays. So That's a fact out there when you play injured. But if you're out there, you're out there. He's a tough dude. He wanted to be out there. And, I mean, he was a monster last night, putting up 39 and 13, fouled out, I think, with, what, 11 seconds to go, I believe it was. But that man, between him and Maxi, that's what they're building around as we go forward and talk about them in the offseason. But the Knicks were the better team here. You did see great games. You saw Jalen Brunson has, man, announced his presence with authority this year. And now he backs it up with, what was it, 40 points or more in each of the final three games. The last one to do that for the Knicks was Bernard King 40 years ago. I mean, ridiculous what he is doing every time he shoots the ball. You friggin' think it's going to go in, and it's not. I mean, he shot... Yeah, he shot well, 13 to 27, 3 of 8 from three-point land, but he garners so much attention, and that was really it at the end of the game. You know, he's driving the lane. He gets all the attention in the world, and there's Josh Hart standing alone at the three-point line. He could check the wind, you know, before he shot that thing because he was so alone, and he knocks it down. I mean, that's what Jalen Brunson brings. That's what the other... You know, you spread the wealth. He had the 41, but all the other starters in double figures. The bench only contributed 5 points. So one thing these guys got to be, too, is a little tired. They played a lot of ball.
I mean, and they really did. The last game, they played only seven guys, too. This is not an extraordinarily deep Knicks team. And we know part of that is because the guys that didn't even make it injury-wise from the regular season to the postseason. And so, yeah, that's going to be something they're up against. But, Dad, I thought that might affect them in this game, right? You expected at some point maybe that war of attrition, you just lose out on a road environment that still sounded a bit like MSG despite what the 76ers ownership tried to do, to Emerson's point. But they managed to weather the storm on that because, Dad, at the end of the day, the biggest difference in this series, I think, goes to the effect of the Joel Embiid injury. Is the Knicks in every critical moment knew exactly who they were and what they could count on. Meaning, hey, we know we're going to get the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands. He's going to initiate whatever happens. And if it's not him, everyone else is going to be ready to go. And Josh Hart, who is not the most prolific shooter, was ready for that moment where the 76ers sagged off on everybody else, trying to basically say, hey, if Josh is going to beat us, then go ahead. And he did. And the whole rest of the game, Josh Hart, who this entire series and his entire career is just running around like an absolute maniac on the offensive glass, setting the tone there. Hartenstein on the inside. Everyone there knows their job, and Jalen Brunson can make it go. And so when you've got that sense of identity, and then you just couple that with relentless effort. Like, that is one of those things where it gets talked about, and we do talk about it with Tibbs, but, man, it is such a weapon for them to be able to show up and play at just a speed and a pace and with a ferocity that most everyone else cannot and is not willing to match.
That's what you get, too, with a Thibodeau coach team, right? You may not win every game, but you know the guys, because of his coaching, are going to be tough players, and they're going to move. They're going to be the hustle guys because that's what he teaches. Sometimes he's a tough coach to play for, but, you know, the best proof of how a coach is how it lays out on the field, right? And or on, in this case, on the court. So he has a tough demeanor, but here they go in the second year in a row right now for them. They're going into the second round. We'll see, you know, what happens next. But it's a tough, fun team to watch, and Jalen Brunson is ridiculous. I mean, he really is. He's a ball to watch, but he is getting the help. That is the thing about this team, is they have others that can add. And right now, that's been a big thing for him. But what a great series this was. We thought they were the better team in the series. We're eventually think we were probably going to get the Knicks and the Celtics to match up in the Eastern Conference Championship. Those are a couple of teams. We're still waiting on one, either Orlando and Cleveland. Pacers may have something to say about that. We'll get to that game. But good win, good series for them, good tough series for them.
You mentioned the others here. Dante DiVincenzo had himself a game, went off shooting 5 of 9 from beyond the arc. He was really the one that kind of ignited things for the Knicks at the beginning when they were burying the 76ers. Like, credit to Philadelphia finding a way to come back and doing a lion's share of that through Joel Embiid. When the Knicks were trying to double team him, he was making the right plays. When he got one-on-ones, he was going and attacking the basket. At the free throw line, he was money the entire night. I don't know if Joel Embiid missed. No, he's 13 for 13 from the free throw line over the course of the night, where he did try and force the issue as best he could. Just ran out of gas late, which is kind of the theme that we had seen for this series from them. It's why on the other side, you're so impressed by the energy that the Knicks can bring constantly, Jalen Brunson being that perfect weapon for him. And Dad, to your point about the quality of this series overall, I saw this stat courtesy of ESPN. There have been five playoff games since 1996 where a team trailed by five or more in the final 30 seconds of regulation and came back to win. Two of those games were in this series. Game two, the Knicks rallied to come back in that. And game five, obviously, you had the Tyrese Maxey game down the stretch. So this was just competitively played the whole way. And it's what makes it interesting, Dad, the conversation coming off this. Because obviously for the Knicks, we all wonder how long you can keep that level of energy up when you're not whole as the tear that Jalen Brunson's on. Now, you mentioned 30 straight 40-plus point games. He went for 39 in the game prior to that. Like, it's not like it was some dud that had him not close to that. So they've got a great shot to continue to do this because the identity is so well forged on that team right now. For the 76ers on the other side, identity is kind of the interesting crisis going forward of what this team does. You know, likely the end of the Tobias Harris era in Philadelphia after this game, a goose egg in what could be his final game in a Sixers uniform, which I know has been a tortured relationship for fans since he signed that big deal, hasn't necessarily ever turned into that third piece that they were hoping he was paid to be. So, Dad, with him likely on the outs here and the franchise having to reckon with how much health you can count on for Joel Embiid late in the season, it makes the offseason priorities pretty interesting for a team that at the very least found another co-star that they can absolutely count Tyrese Maxey on this team. So how do you think this team attracts free agents this offseason, attracts other stars with what they've shown this season?
I mean, it is alluring to see what they have and to know you have a guy who, before he got hurt, Embiid was right there to be the MVP again. Now you've seen a guy like Tyrese Maxey come out, you know, because that he had all the pressure when Harden left, and he was an absolute superstar. Maybe not so much in this game, 2 points in the first half, finished it up with 17 after 45 in the game before. But his step, I love when he starts to dribble in, starts to turns his back and starts to go back out and then makes that one step turn and goes back to the basket. He is so quick. He, again, like Brunson, he is so fun to watch when he gets ahead of steam going. But it is attractive. Again, there's the hesitancy of it's twofold. The hesitancy of, man, if Embiid gets hurt, we could be in a lot of trouble, to, boy, this team really looks like they're just one player away. And I know there's going to be the talk of Paul George. There's that in Orlando, one of the younger teams out there, and that in Philadelphia. And this is what you get when you know you're kind of maybe limited in time or in how your body is with Embiid. Paul George is 34, so it's not like he's getting any younger. So it's not like you're bringing in if Paul George is the guy, I'm saying. You bring in a younger guy, obviously you can build going forward. With Paul George, you know there's an expiration date of quality play. So, but that's what you do when you have a guy like Embiid, who is a big guy who's been dealing with some injuries, is you try and do it now. That's what they're doing. And they have some room this offseason to make some moves and do some things. So they will be one of the more interesting teams to see what happens.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Gojo and Golic on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let's throw it over to Stormy for a quick betting update.
With the draft in the rearview mirror, let's take a look at the NFC Championship futures for 2024. Hi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni with VSiN, the sports betting network. The defending champion 49ers are favored to repeat in the NFC at plus 250, bringing back a bulk of their roster from a year ago. The Lions, who saw a disappointing ending against San Francisco in the conference championship, following what was a historic season for the franchise, are plus 550 to take another step and win it all this coming season. The Eagles got off to a hot 10-1 start last year before dropping 6 of 7 games down the stretch in one of the more epic collapses as we've seen for a perceived contender. Philly looks to bounce back at 7-1 following offseason acquisitions Saquon Barkley and Bryce Huff and being one of the draft winners on paper. While Jerry Jones says the Cowboys are all in, we haven't seen it yet. With backs against the wall and contracts in the balance at 7-1, could this be the year they get back to the NFC title game for the first time since the 90s? The Packers hope not, with their young QB Jordan Love rising in the ranks. Green Bay is 8-1.
All right, Churchill Downs, prepped and ready to go. We're just one day away from witnessing the 150th running at the Kentucky Derby, the fastest 2 minutes in sports. And if you can't wait, people, get your research in. Get it started with VSiN's Kentucky Derby Betting Primer. It is free and available to download for all VSiN subscribers. So head to VSiN.com and subscribe. Right, meow. And for even more tips and tricks, don't forget, download DK Horse. DK Horse app, baby, on Apple, Google. Go to dkng.com/horses. Now to preview the Derby. Enough from me. Let's send it over to Gojo and Golic with a very special guest.
Yeah, very excited this morning as we get ready for a great race this weekend to welcome in someone who's already ready and in race mode right now, Corbin Bloomberg from Starlight Racing, the director of racing there, kind enough to join us as he's getting ready. We're all looking like schleps out here, and he's suited and booted, yeah, getting ready to head over to the track after this. So, Corbin, good morning. How you feeling going into race weekend?
Good morning. So excited. It's my absolute favorite weekend of the year. Oaks Day today, right into Derby tomorrow. It's two just great days of racing. And both races are really good this year, and especially the Derby, I think, is a really awesome horse race.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to get into the Derby. Oaks today, you said, but we're looking at possibly some rain. So is there rain today? What's the carryover then for the possibility of it happening in the Derby?
It's going to be pretty rainy out there today. I think the track will be pretty muddy Oaks Day. I was looking at a forecast for tomorrow. I think by Derby time, we should be a pretty normal, fast track, which is what everyone wants. That's how it should be. Hopefully the rain stays away tomorrow and we get a beautiful Derby day, because then there's nothing better.
Well, and listen, Starlight, for you guys, nothing better than winning. Two horses have won the Derby under the Starlight banner: Authentic back in 2020, Justify in 2018. So for people that haven't lived this life and haven't been around this world, what does it take to get a Derby winning horse to start and to actually get through and win this race?
It's so difficult. There's about 19,000 to 20,000 foals born each year. You know, only 20 get into the Derby. So just statistically speaking, you're already, it's extremely difficult. It's what everyone wants to do. When you breed a horse, buy a yearling, whatever you can possibly do to get to the Derby, that's all you're trying to do. Once you're there, you need a perfect trip. Things to go well. There's 20 horses. It's horse racing, so anything can happen. So to actually win one is pretty special and amazing.
I always wondered, obviously there's money to be made in a lot of horse racing, but certainly in breeding as well. If you get a Kentucky Derby winner, how much does that up a value, and to what would be a number of what that does for their breeding then?
Yeah, it totally depends on the horse, but if you have a really nice horse that wins a Derby, you're probably in the anywhere up from 10 million plus, and it can get really high from there. some of the horses, Sierra Leone, one of the favorites in the Derby this year, he was $2.3 million as a one-year-old. So his value, if he were to win the Derby, would be just astronomical. But it's a pretty lucrative business. Once you get the 3-year-old colts in the Triple Crown season.
It's all right. So you mentioned one of the favorites there. Let's talk about that. As you look at the race field this year, how do you handicap this right now? Who should people have their eyes on heading into this race?
Yeah, there's two horses that are going to be, pretty heavy favorites compared to the rest. The favorite's going to be Fierceness, and he deserves to be the favorite. He has three races. His first career race, the 2-year-old champion race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year, and his most recent race, the Florida Derby, that would just pretty much annihilate this field. I mean, he's really talented and is definitely the horse to beat. But he has two races on his card that are really poor, which makes, bettors a little bit scared of him. Because it seems like when he's hit adversity, he's struggled. And then Sierra Leone, he's beaten already 8 of the horses in the race. He seems like the most solid of the group, but he's just a deep closer. Doesn't have a ton of early speed, which in the Derby in a 20 horse race, when there's a lot of horses in front of you, it can be difficult to navigate through. But those two are really they're going to be tough to beat. They're two really nice horses.
So you have the favorite, you mentioned Fierceness in the 17 slot, Sierra Leone in the 2, and third is Catching Freedom, I believe was 8-1, is in mm-hmm. the 4 slot. How important is that when you see a horse in a certain gait? How does that correlate to, are there those that say, oh man, that's a horrible gait to be in, or are there better ones than others?
There definitely are, especially in the Derby. Because there's so many horses, a normal horse race in the United States is 7, 8, 9 horses. This is 20. So if you're down on the inside and you don't go away well, all those horses to your outside are trying to get over, and save ground in that first turn. So it can be pretty messy if you're down on the rail. And if you're out in the 20, you can go really wide. It's just like running. If you get caught 10 wide into the first turn, you're going to lose a lot of ground and you're going to run further than every other horse in the race. So, if ideally you want to be sort of in the middle, but then you don't want to also get bumped around and end up in the back of the pack. So you want to break, breaking well and getting a clean break is paramount.
So that's all big for the horses here. Obviously, the Kentucky Derby is so much fanfare around this also. As someone that's been going for a while now, what's your favorite part of the event out race itself that you get to experience every year here?
I mean, for me, I think it's really just everything that is surrounding the Derby. So whether it be, the lead up, I think about all year round is horse racing. I know that's a little bit unique. So it's just so nice to have, the Derby be the spotlight of the sports world for the weekend, have racing in the limelight. And really, it's just such a great weekend. Everyone who shows up and is there, and definitely the pageantry and when they sing My Old Kentucky Home, it's always pretty special.
So I think one of the big questions has to be, do you enjoy a mint julep?
I do. I went to University of Kentucky, so I've had a lot of bourbon experience. It's been really building up to this point. I do love a mint julep. It definitely makes the whole experience a lot more fun.
You say my dad's been out on the mint julep. He just, for some reason, can't get over that. So I think it's just he hasn't spent enough time in Kentucky to necessarily let it all seep in there. I feel like we just need to get him. Dad, have you ever been to the Derby? I feel like we need to just get you to the Derby and see if it takes.
Yeah, back at ESPN days, we did it. We went there a couple times, did shows there. On the Friday morning on Oaks Day, we did shows there, and we'd hang around for the Derby. I've tried it. I don't get me wrong, Corbin. I've tried it. I just am more of a beer guy. I'm waiting for the Kentucky Derby beer. You have the mint julep, but what's the beer that's for the Kentucky Derby?
I'm not sure. I think beer and the Preakness are really two just things that go really well together in 2 weeks. Yeah. But I think in the Derby you probably got to stay with the bourbon.
All right, there we go. Well, you know what? Two things that go very well together are the Derby and Starlight Racing and Corbin Bloomberg, who was kind enough to join us here. Corbin, thank you so much for your help and insight this morning. Enjoy Kentucky Derby weekend. We're all looking forward to it, man. Best of luck.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Awesome stuff, man. I've never actually been to the Derby. So this is something that I look at and I need to check off the sports bucket list here.
Well, I think a lot of it is two different things. We were up like in an area where everybody dressed. Well, I think a lot of people dress like that, but we were in like a kind of a VIP area. I know my daughter-in-law, your sister-in-law, Jake's wife, Jenny, has been to the Derby, but then there's the Derby out on the infield when you basically most of the time don't remember the Kentucky Derby even happened.
All my friends from college who would go and go to the infield who are from, you know, Cincinnati or Kentucky and would go down there all said the same thing. I had a great time at the Derby. I didn't see a single horse.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Gojo and Golic on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Let's throw it over to Stormy for a quick betting update.
With the last two Heisman Trophy winners going 1-2 in the NFL draft, who will rise to the top of the college football rankings in 2024? Stormy Bonantoni here with VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Heisman favorite coming up this year, none other than Longhorns QB1 Quinn Ewers at 9-1, who returns to Texas in hopes of building on last year's CFP semifinal appearance. He's tied atop the odds board with Georgia quarterback Carson Becht, who guided the Dogs to a perfect regular season last year before a loss to Alabama in the SEC title game knocked them out of the playoff. Former Sooner turned Oregon Duck Dylan Gabriel's not far behind at 10-1, followed by Alabama's Jalen Milrow at 14-1. And it's another transfer rounding out the short shots. Former K-State quarterback Will Howard is the Buckeyes' new likely starter, available at 15-1 odds. Also worth noting, Utah's Cam Rising will be back healthy after missing all of last year with a torn ACL. He's been bet down from 70-1 to 35-1. And if you're buying whatever Coach Prime is selling, Shador Sanders is the same price.
All right, we got more boxing action coming your way this weekend on DK Network starting 5 o'clock Eastern time. The guys of Morning Combat will preview the evening's PBC Fight Night card. Ooh, this is going to be a good one. Then PBC prelims beginning at 6 o'clock Eastern time on DraftKings Network. Now from fighting in the ring to fighting for their playoff lives. That's exactly what the Clippers will be doing tonight in Dallas here, gentlemen. It's a must-win game 6. That leads us to Cash It or Trash It. Cash It or Trash It, presented by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you will hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Agent eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See DraftKings.com for details. For this edition of Cash It or Trash It, are you cashing or trashing the Mavs, clinching this thing at home as currently 8-point favorites on the DK Sportsbook, Gojo?
I am going to cash it on this one. Now, the 8 points makes me a little wary. Might probably be more of a money line girly for this game. But, Dad, I think the Mavericks are ready to take this down. Luka Doncic found something in the second half of that last game. I know he has been banged up, and that might introduce some variability into all this. But with Kyrie Irving playing the way that he has this entire series, and Luka Doncic, I think, smelling blood here, to go along with the fact that the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, I think, just lack that extra oomph that we were expecting from this team. Will we get an abysmal shooting performance again like we did in that last game? No, but I think it only takes one of those for the dam to break, and I think the dam's officially broken for the Clippers.
Yeah, this is one of those, at least deja vu for the Clippers, will say, hey, we were in the same position last year. You know, down 3-2 going on the road, and they won the last two and won the series. So they did it last year. Biggest difference is Kawhi Leonard led that, and Kawhi Leonard's not on the court right now and won't be until, as was put by their team president, until the swelling is down enough till he can perform like he did early on in the series. So we'll see. The expectation is probably not going to be out there. And then, you know, you look at Dallas, they're in the position that the Pacers were in, right? You can end it while you're at home. And the Pacers, you know, end up rolling Milwaukee. Every time Milwaukee was started to make a comeback, the Pacers held them off. Let's see if Dallas can do it, because you know there's going to be a lot of fight in these Clippers. We'll see how Harden can play. We've seen some good shooting and some horrid shooting, which is kind of, you know, his MO in the playoffs, but I cash that as well. Again, the 8 points does worry me a little bit, but it is one of those, if it starts to get away from you, then, and you know your season's about over, it could really get away from you. Or it could turn into that great game like the Knicks and the 76ers last night, where it's a close game. But I do like Dallas in this one. I think they have the ability to close it out, yes.
I would agree, and James Harden would then – I mean, James Harden, the most interesting player in this game, certainly coming off the last game, it seems like we're in the dying day of James Harden, kind of like a lot of his peers in his age range, being a player that you can count on for anything. I mean, he was never a guy you've been able to count on in the postseason, certainly, but – I think overall, while James Harden has had good moments since coming over with the Clippers, and it felt like for a while they were able to get the best out of him, ultimately James Harden's got one job at this point, and it's a job that he continues to fail to do. And so I'll be interested to see. This Clippers team has a lot more existential crisis about them, given the age of this roster, how it came together, the lingering questions about Kawhi's injury. Paul George is a name that's going to pop up for a lot of people now as a superstar that other teams are going to try and poach this offseason. After this, the fact that you've got the Clippers getting ready to make the move into their new building and continue to put a team on the court that's worth people being interested in, a town that already kind of pushes them to the side. Dad, the more and more I say it out loud here, man, this is a big game for the Clippers.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to see their owner, Steve Ballmer, just losing his mind on the sidelines on this one. If their last home game was already played at Crypto, as you mentioned, before they go to Inuit, the stadium that they're the Inuit Dome, I believe it is. So there's a lot on the line here, because, well, I said it yesterday or the other day, I think this team is breaking up, right? I think Paul George is going to go. You've got, you know, then Kawhi Leonard and Harden and Westbrook. You got some aging pieces on that team. Are they going to all hang around there? Are they going to split up and go to other teams? Harden's always a friggin' wild card. There's no doubt about that. But the first one is Paul George. I just don't see there's any way Paul George signs back with the Clippers.
No, I would agree. At this point, it seems like this team was trying to come together for one last heist, and they got caught. Someone ran into one of those red laser lights that tripped the alarms, and now things are going pretty bad for this team that was one of the top, I think, three favorites to win the NBA Finals going into this postseason. And then Kawhi Leonard, you know, one of the most mysterious players in the NBA overall, but certainly that injury, one of the most mercurial. And so now they're sitting in a tough position. We do have another game coming up tonight. It's largely been the NBA TV series and the Cavaliers and the Magic. But Emerson, we get one more in this one to find out who gets to go and face the Boston Celtics right now. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, neither of these teams really scare me for the Boston Celtics at this point. And so it's been a difficult series to sort of get excited about, even if there's been compelling play and seeing the Magic kind of come to life over the last couple of games, at the very least has this series in doubt now as they could try and force a Game 7 tonight.
For sure. The Magic understand the magnitude of Game 6 tonight as they are down 3-2 to the Cavs, and the Orlando guard, that would be Jalen Suggs, he's got this quiet confidence to him.
Going about it the same way that I've gone about the rest of these games. I don't think there's no difference. Continuing to, you know, have good confidence, good joy, a comfortability going into these games. Understanding that, again, the work has been done. Everything, all the preparation, the workouts, training, going through tough moments, learning moments, all that has gone through and it's happened already. Now it's just enjoying this moment, being fully present here. So that's where my mind's at, ready to play, ready to be back home in front of the fans and get ready to go play again Sunday morning.
Question is, does he and his teammates, will they be ready for the moment tonight, Gojo?
I think so, Dan. I think in the last couple of games, we've seen the Magic sort of find their level. Coming into this series, they had just four players with postseason experience. Outside of Joe Ingles, who's 36, the most Magic's oldest player besides that was Gary Harris. So this is an extremely young team. The names we mentioned there alongside Jalen Suggs, you know, Paolo Banchero, who's 21, Franz Wagner, who's 22 years old. This is a team with a lot to be excited about going towards the future with the homegrown guys they've landed underneath here. And so I think they're absolutely capable of winning right now. The health of Jared Allen's gone a long way in swinging this series a bit for the Cleveland Cavaliers, although they've gotten good work out of Mobley. So I think this has been closely contested. I think the Magic are absolutely capable of making this a seven-game series.
So you mentioned Wagner, 22, Banchero, 21, Jalen Suggs, the guy you heard in that soundbite, is 22. Those are your three leading scorers. So what a difference of teams we're talking about that could be eliminated in tonight, right? With the Clippers, we just talked about the four older guys, and it's probably going to break up. But even if Orlando loses tonight, I mean, talk about the arrow up. We talk about Oklahoma City, which was the number one seed and the youngest team in the league. This is right there as far as a young team. And even if they were to get ousted here, the future is bright, right? With these players, they can add to them and they have a chance to build, where the Clippers kind of were on their last chance of the stars they had and are probably going to break up.
The future feels bright. Like it is. This is an exciting postseason in that way, because you mentioned the trio of teams that seem to be young, up and coming, and in a good spot. And certainly there's level to this, right? The Thunder seem to have the most excited. They're already the one seed. That seems like a team that's really ahead of schedule with what they've built there. But this is also how we felt years ago about a team like the Memphis Grizzlies. And now that has so much to do with what went on off the court. You know, with John Morant, and then certainly the injuries that took that team out before the season even got started this year. But it is important to make sure you get the most out of these experiences when you can, and it seems the playoff experience has already started to benefit this Orlando Magic team. Now, everyone's going to get a reality check, whoever comes out of this series in the second round. Donovan Mitchell on the other side, certainly more seasoned and wouldn't overwhelmed by that moment, but if the Magic are able to pull this off, they get a real stress test of the pipes in that building with a Boston Celtics team waiting in the wings.
Yeah, I don't think we believe, or many people believe, and I'm sure the odds would agree, that gives either one of these teams any much of a chance to beat the Celtics. But I do think it's a big time arrow up for Orlando going forward.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey,
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Gojo and Golic on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, the NFL's new kickoff rules will certainly create some additional excitement, some scoring opportunities when playmakers get their hands on the pigskin, which apparently has the Steelers thinking, boop, outside the box. Headline, check it. Jaylen Warren, Steelers running back here, guys, revealing that Pittsburgh special teams coordinator Danny Smith has discussed the possibility of putting quarterback Justin Fields on special teams to return kicks. So this coming from a live recording of Cam Hayward's Not Just Football podcast from the Steelers draft party over the weekend. But this is football. So Gojo, yay or nay? Come on. You putting Justin Fields back there to return kicks? I am, and I'm a coaching minor.
People forget that about Emerson. He's got a background in this stuff and needs to be taken seriously with his opinion here. Dad, I can tell you one thing for certain. Danny Smith, who is among the more creative special teams coaches in the NFL, I'd have to imagine was pissed that this got talked about publicly here. Because the one thing special teams coaches love is the element of surprise. That is all gone here. So I know you have a lot of strong feelings about this. I actually kind of look at this and go, this is the kind of tinkering that should all be on the table with the new NFL kickoff rules. It is an entirely different format that's going to give way to, I think, a lot of creativity in this particular area while people are figuring out the best way to do this amongst the new rules. From what they've heard, I've heard Sam Schwartzstein, who helped invent this at the XFL, talking about the different iterations and things that people have done in the past. And with Justin's unique skill set back there and some of the things you could do, I'm not saying you'd major in it, but it would be a really interesting off-speed pitch at certain junctures in the game if you had a guy with his athletic profile back there.
No, it wouldn't. No, Danny Smith is an innovative special team coach. I don't think he'd get the complete sentence out to Mike Tomlin before Mike Tomlin would and should shut this down. I get the kickoff rules are different. I get it's not going to be full speed contact. Every backup is one play away from playing. The quarterback position is the most important position on the field. You are one play away from Justin Fields being your quarterback. Why would you put him in a position to not be one play away because he's injured? Why would you do that? You brought in Cordarrelle Patterson, who can do this. Now, again, he's 33 years old. There is zero, I mean zero need to put Justin Fields back there to return a kick. Nothing. You could not talk me into it at all to put him in harm's way, even though it's not the full speed kickoff running down to the kickoff team we normally got. There is no chance, especially when you have others who are more than capable to do this on your team.
Trick plays, all these different wrinkles that you can do off of this now with Justin Fields potentially. I mean, there are some people that thought you might have some bigger bodies back on this kickoff return group and essentially turn it in. Like, you could run almost like offensive line style plays to try and free guys up back there. And who better to orchestrate that than a guy with quarterback experience?
Listen, while I agree there will be some things tried, just like when you know, kickoffs were going out of the end zone, that the league actually wanted no kickoff returns to not have the injuries, you knew somebody was going to do something. And it was Bill Belichick, who was almost doing like coffin corner style kickoffs, high kickoffs to like the 2 yard line to a couple of years ago to make the returners return and get that tackle before the 20 or the 25 yard line. So there will be some innovative things done here. I agree with that. But to put your backup quarterback, who, again, is one play away from leading your team in any more harm's way, makes zero sense to me when you have others on the field that can do this job better than he can. So there is no way I would even have a thought process about this.
I mean, I think it already says a lot, the fact that this conversation got had, which, like, I mean, I'm sure Danny didn't bring that up without Mike Tomlin at least knowing about it. So I think they're thinking creatively about the new problem that's in front of them. I tend to agree with you that they're probably not going to put a quarterback who could be their starter at some point this season in harm's way on this play unless they absolutely have to. Do I think there could be some wrinkles where in certain situations late in the game when you need something to happen and need a play, hey, if your backup quarterback's the guy that can help you win the game in that way, there might be something to it. Do I think they're going to major in this or that it's really going to happen all that much? No, probably not. This is probably an idea that you talk about during the offseason program and try and flesh out and see if you can make something happen with it here. I want to get into something else because we've seen a bunch of really good NFL sound from some young players over recent weeks. Keon Coleman is still going strong. Did you guys see the Buffalo Bills release their combine interview with Keon Coleman? He was talking through all of this great stuff about how, you know, he, when he was at Michigan State, really started to become a film junkie, started asking quarterbacks about what they wanted out of guys from his routes. He said he was starting to pay attention and learn what the offensive line did so he would understand the timing of plays better, where he needed to be available for his quarterbacks. And then they asked him, well, what do you do away from the field? Said, I chill at the house and I play golf. And he's like, he goes, his line. And I think this might be, and someone pointed this out, the best joke about Tiger Woods I've ever heard, which is, I'm Tiger wish he could, not Tiger Woods, when it comes to playing golf, and had them eating out of the palm of his hands. And it made me think, how did we have this dude on one of the best teams in college football last year and know nothing about this? In this day and age where we talk about player-led media, Dad, I complained that players still aren't having their stories told as much or their voices heard as much when it was relative to Colorado and what was going on there. Florida State, I need answers. I like the people and the SIDs over at Florida State, but how are we not getting this guy more often on the national stage? He's been electric ever since he landed in Buffalo.
Well, a lot of players are putting content out themselves, and if they don't, then it's up to the team, social media team, to go ahead and do that when they get good answers. So that's where I would look. If Keon isn't putting this out himself, then that's got to be the others, you know, the people who are running that social media on the team to not get that out there. Because I'm with you. Dude is very, very entertaining, no doubt about it.
It's been amazing to me to watch this all happen for Keon Coleman. So he's been great. I hope the Bills never stop posting Keontae Coleman content. It's been awesome. But the other thing that's enamored me, Emerson, is what we've seen, the pairing of C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons, who have been out with the NFL abroad teaching football, and there's been little bits coming out with them all along the way that have been incredible.
Yeah, these two are absolute content machines, and their latest round of comments being about how much they think they could score in an NBA game. Gojo, listen to this.
How much would each of you guys score in an NBA game?
I'm averaging 20. I would say I would be lucky to hit a three or two.
I'm realistic,
he calls himself
fam.
A shooter?
He's a cowboy. He's a cowboy.
He's naturally scoring a bucket, but
This is, come on.
What?
Come on. It's one thing if Micah Parsons said, I think in a game I might be able to put up 20. If you played 82 games, maybe had that one game where everything was falling, you could, I still wouldn't believe it. There's no way I would believe it. But he said he would average 20 points a game. Mike, this has been the great debate. You know it in every locker room you've been in, that I've been in, football players who, most of them, just about all of them, maybe except for the linemen, for the tall ones, who wrestled or ran track through the shot of the disc. A lot of people play basketball. And you've always said, and I agree, one of the great things at the Pro Bowl, because you don't want to play the game anymore, is to get a 5-on-5 or two teams against one another, AFC, NFC, basketball-wise. Because these guys, A, can hoop pretty well, and B, think they can hoop way better than they really can hoop. But because that's always been a question to me. Would an NBA player do better, the best basketball playing NBA player do better in the NBA, or the best football playing basketball player do better going to the NFL? And I think the basketball players are the better athletes, so I think it would be them going to the NFL. But Micah Parsons averaging 20, I love his confidence, but there is no way on God's green earth that's happening.
So Gojo, I just went to NBA.com looking at the stats leaders here from the regular season. You have 38 players who average at least 20 points a game in the league this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. And Dad, to your notion about who can make the switch better, I don't even think it's the athlete thing as much. Like, I think the NFL athletes are really good, and quite honestly, I think some of the athletes along the lines of scrimmage are better athletes than certain players in the NBA. But it's a lot more siloed in the NFL. You can give them one specific job that doesn't have them doing things that are completely unnatural to them. In the NBA, there's only so many places that you can hide someone, especially when they're that far behind technically their peers. So I'm with you on that. Basketball to football, we've seen it. It's been the answer. We've seen that actually happen. Yeah, there's practical application of it here. The thing that's enamored me about all this is everything I see in here from C.J. Stroud makes me firmly believe that I was wrong and that he should have been the number one overall pick, and you were absolutely right just with what we've seen under the hood from him. You combine that with what's on the field, though, Dad, and this is a player, this is not a hot take by any means considering what we saw from him last year, but like the NFL right now belongs to Patrick Mahomes. Below Patrick Mahomes, it's kind of largely accepted that I think the next rung of quarterbacks would be Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow when he's healthy. It seems like it's not going to take long into this season for C.J. Stroud to probably join that second group of quarterbacks, because from every player we've talked to who plays around C.J. Stroud, from everything we've seen and heard, from what we've seen practically on the field from him, this is a guy who has the mental makeup and certainly the physical tools to go out and deliver as one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL sooner than later, and it's already been sooner.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.